This is the Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. Join us as we hear from students across the Portland area and beyond. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. For over 100 years, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. The Student Hour is brought to you by Portland Radio Project, KBOO Community Radio, and KBPS. This is the Student Hour.
Heading into the month of June means that this school year is about over. And here at AM 1450 KBPS, our broadcasting students are producing their final end-of-the-year projects. Our juniors have to come up with a 15-minute piece of audio, and our seniors come up with a 30-minute audio piece. The students also have to produce matching transcripts that match their audio word for word. So over the next few weeks on the Student Hour, we want to feature some of these end-of-the-year projects from our KBPS students. In this end-of-the-year final project, our KBPS senior Redding
gets a one-on-one interview with my final
Portland Trailblazer, NBA champion,
for those who don't know,
and all-around good guy.
Well, obviously, I'm Channing Frye, even though you already introduced
Enjoy.
Me. What's going on, everyone? I'm Channing Frye, 14-year NBA vet, one-time champion. Went to the University of Arizona. Now I am a co-host at Turner Warner Studios, and co-host of Road Trip and Podcast. So a lot of things, a lot of TV, a lot of basketball.
All right. I think first we'll start off with, your college career, the recruiting process, that stuff, because nowadays it's a lot different, sure with the transfer portal, as you know.
You know what? I think, sorry to interrupt, but
no, you're all good.
I didn't even really get recruited, to be honest. I'm from Arizona.
Yeah.
That was, sorry. Here we go. I'm back. when I was growing up, my junior high was 7A9. Yeah. So I didn't go freshman year to a high school. And then the high school I was supposed to go to wasn't necessarily a good place to go. And the coach wasn't that good to me and my family. So my parents were like, we get to go to private school. So I end up through a funny happening, end up going to St. Mary's High School. And what I didn't know is that they had the two best guards in the state already there. So I didn't know anything about St. Mary's. I just happened to go there and just happened to be able to play with those guys. So my sophomore year, I played one game on JV, one game on varsity, and then broke my wrist and didn't play the rest of that season. And then junior, senior year, finally started playing. Midway through my junior year, I started to kind of obviously get taller. But that's when teams like New Mexico State or, you know, Penn State or Notre Dame started to recruit me. But back in the day, those were a letter, right? I got a handwritten letter or, hey, you know, we want to tell you we love you, blah, blah, blah. Talking to coaches. And then I end up taking an unofficial visit to U of A. And I had known Richard Jefferson since I was 14, on and off, obviously. And I took my unofficial visit. I was like, dude, this is it. Like, I love this place. Like, it feels like home. So, you know, basically the beginning, middle of my junior year, I committed to U of A. It just was dedicated to that. Didn't start halfway through my freshman year. End up starting only because one of my teammates stole earrings at Oregon. and then, you know, which is funny. And then the beginning of my sophomore year, I didn't start the first sort of half of the season. Just because the guy Isaiah Fox, who's a good friend of mine, he had come in great shape and really crushed me on the boards. And I think it was a Coach O thing. So I kind of had to earn my starting position, which made me a better human, and just kept working. And then 4 years later, I end up getting drafted 8th to the Knicks. I'm in New York right now. And and then that's the end of my college career.
Yeah. I guess going off of what you just said about being drafted by the Knicks, were there any other teams other than the Knicks that were looking at you, or did you think you were going to go somewhere else, or did you know you were going to New York?
I pretty much knew I was going to New York. The only team, there was two other teams that were looking at me, and there were actually Portland was looking at me.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, no, I don't want to go there. And then Toronto was there looking at me, and I was like, nah, I don't want to go there. And then it was New York. And then the last team was the Lakers.
Okay. Those are some solid teams. Well,
solid team,
going back to Portland, I mean, just 2 years after being with the Knicks, you ended up in Portland.
Right.
Did they, throughout those 2 years, were they still like, were they still talking to you like in free agency or whatever it was, you know, and trying to get you there or what?
No. So what happened was I was in New York, and when I went to New York, Isaiah Thomas from Zeke, you know, the old school Isaiah, I'm still friends with today with our GM. And he had a good mix of like veterans and, you know, rookies, but we just didn't mesh. On paper, it looked great, but as personalities, as teammates, we just didn't mesh. So, you know, Isaiah called me. It's like, hey, I'm going to trade you to a young team so you can get an opportunity to play and make mistakes. We need to win now. So I actually got traded for Zach Randolph, which is a perennial all-star. So, like, I'm not even mad. And then when I came here, they had already had LaMarcus Aldridge. So here in Portland is where, number one, I still live, obviously. And then number two, I figured out how hard it is to win and how hard it is to work. And the only reason I was there 2 years was the style of play. Like, I'm 6'11". I was 6'11 at the time. I'm 7 foot now. But I wasn't a true center like that, right? I shoot the ball. And in Nate McMillan's system, that's not what he knew how to coach or what he, like, wanted to coach. So I got offered by Portland to stay and end up taking a vet minimum to go to Phoenix for 1 year. So I bet on myself. We end up going to the Western Conference Finals. I end up beating the shooting record for most threes made in a year between, like, you know, I only made 20 my first four to 172 the next year.
Yeah.
So, like, like, for me, it was just the right place at the right time. And I'm from Phoenix, so it felt good to go back home and play for such a good team.
Yeah, for sure. And also, that was a fairly young team at the time as well, with the Morris brothers.
So that was 2014. This one had.
Oh, yeah, that was, yeah, that was 2014. Were-ish.
So this was Grant Hill, Amari, Robin Lopez, myself, Jared Dudley, Leandro Barbosa, Jason Richardson, Lou Amundsen, Jaren Collins.
Okay. So a fair mix of ages then.
Yeah, a great mix. A great mix of just vets and pros that really taught me, you know, I was like, okay, I'm on a vet minimum. Number one, I got to be in the greatest shape of my life. So I was in there running early before practice. And I remember I got there practice at 11. I got there at 8, and Grant Hill was already there. And I was like, all right, man, I got to take you. You got to take me underneath your wing. And so it just became my mentor when it came down to stuff like that. So it was great. And then still today, good friends, Steve Nash, Robin Lopez, those guys, still really good friends with a lot of those guys.
Yeah. I mean, and being in Phoenix, probably without a doubt, those best years of your career.
I would say personally, I think the style of the game and where basketball was, I was an anomaly where now people play five out, one or four out, one in, right? We were one of the first teams that would play a center out by the 3-point line. And for us, you know, playing with Steve, he was directing everything, and it was just good basketball. It was fun basketball.
Yeah.
And you know, anytime playing at home is always a plus.
Yeah. So, in 2012, you did not play that whole season due to a medical and large heart issue. But then you came back, you bounced back and had even a better season than the previous season before that. What was that like to just overcome all that, you know, have the doctors basically tell you maybe you won't play again and then come out and play?
What? They told me I was going to die.
Yeah, exactly.
That it jacks you up, man. I had just had my baby girl. I had just got over shoulder surgery. For me, I knew something was wrong that season before, because the season before was like the lockout year, and we were playing triple back to backs. And I remember one time we played Utah, Denver, or at home against Sac, then Utah on the road, then Denver on the road. And I remember waking up one day from a nap, and I was like, I don't even know where I'm at. And like physically, I was like, I can't operate like this. And even that year, I was averaging like 40 minutes on that team, right? For a month. I think it was a month. And that's, I was like, I got down. So when my playing weight, just for reference, was like 245, which is still slim. Mm-hmm. That year, I was playing at 230. Like I was college skinny. But anyways, when the doctor told me I would die, I was like, oh crap, like this is for real. So I end up really just kind of taking that time, the first 6 months of like coming to terms with what if this is true, and trying to heal myself from the inside, doing a lot of yoga, golf, long walks, like things that are seem simple, but like help your soul. Then I came back after the season and started flying from Oregon to Baltimore to go to Johns Hopkins. And they found out that my heart was actually getting better. So I kept on, you know, just getting better and better slowly. And I haven't had any issues since, right? I don't know. Was that 12 years ago?
Yeah.
10 years ago? Yeah, 12 years ago. So, like, think about it. That next year, I think I played all 82 games and did miss a practice. So
yeah, no, me, I was just going to say, I was going to talk about that. Yeah, you then came back and played all 82. So that's... that's impressive and crazy.
It was super crazy because my teammates were the best, man. That's when I was playing with Marcus Morris. That's when they wanted to blow up the team. And I was guys, we were at Jeff Horn. I was like, dude, guys, we're a good team. And I was like, we're playing with house money. So Goran Dragic was like second team all NBA or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like Eric Bledsoe was great. Miles Plumlee, Jared Dudley. Like we had a really good young core team. Yeah. And for some reason, the big dum-dums blew it up. We won 48 games that year, right? Yeah. We only missed the playoffs by like a half a game based on a tie or something like that. And it was just like they didn't want to commit to this group. And I was like, dude, we've exceeded every expectation, and we like each other. And, you know, that's why I ended up signing in Orlando.
Yeah. I was just going to bring that up. Then you ended up in Orlando with another young squad. Orlando's always been young.
Always.
I think, did you just get there for Aaron Gordon's rookie year? Would that be, or the year after?
No, I was there a year and a half, but I was there Aaron Gordon's year. Mm-hmm. And you know what the problem was? When I signed there, when I was talking to the coaches, it was like, we have more talent on that team than the one in Phoenix. And I was like, dude, we can emulate what we just did here with this team. Like, think about this. Vooch is an all-star. Victor Oladipo is an all-star.
All-star.
Tyus Harris is an all-star caliber player. Or Aaron Gordon, all-star caliber player. Like, Willie Green was a solid vet. Myself, Luke Ridnow, Kyle Quinn, Dwayne Dedman. These are all pros. So, like, the team on paper, again, looked amazing. But nobody was established as the main bow. Like, we're going to go with this guy because they thought all of them could be even. And that's not how basketball works. So it was miserable. I was miserable out there dealing with these young guys. But, you know, they're cool now.
They're cool now. And then just your second year in Orlando, about 45 games in, 46 games in, you get traded to the Cavs.
Yep. So trade deadline. I thought I was going to the Clippers. Right.
Yeah.
And the coach, Scott Skiles, at the time was cool. Coolest dude ever. His practices sucked, but he was a cool cat. Like, hey, man, I can't see you wither away on this crappy team. So we're going to send you to Cleveland. And I was like, OK, tight. Like, send me.
Yeah.
And then I figured out it was freezing in freaking Cleveland.
But then you went from playing with all these teams to then playing with who some would consider, and probably I think you would consider, the greatest, one of the greatest players of all time in LeBron James.
Yeah, he's three. He's on the three, and he's now three or two. So yeah.
Okay. And also playing with definitely a mixed squad of ages as well.
It was the best. It was the best. Yeah. It was good to be like, I was the oldest dude on the Magic's team. And then all of a sudden I go on this team and I'm like, Richard's on there. You know, there's freaking Kevin, Tristan, JR. Like, we just meshed pretty quickly. I think my whole attitude towards them was like, holy crap, we don't have to practice that much. And we're beating the crap out of these teams and we're winning. Yeah. Like, I was on the worst team in the league and then go to the best team in the league. I was like, guys, we have to have a better attitude about winning these games. This is fun. We're literally torching these teams. And then everyone's grouchy about something that doesn't even matter. So it was fun to go there, especially, you know, they didn't like me at first, though, because I got traded for Barazal, right? Which is like, you know, he's getting his number retired. But then they learned to love me.
And you didn't just sit the bench on that team. I mean, you played 74 games that year with them, or the next year, their championship year, I should say.
Yeah. So
great,
we went
role
to the
player.
Championship 2 years.
Yeah.
So in 15-16, the 2016 year, that's when we won. And I played, I don't know how many games I played, 25, 4, 8. So, yeah, like 25, 4, 8. What did I play, 40-something games in 2016 for the Cavs?
26, yeah, the 2015-16 season? Was that this year? Like 30 games, I think.
Yeah. So it was like, I only played 30 games, but you go from the worst team in the league to like winning a championship and feeling like I was there for a long time was amazing. And then to beat the Warriors down 3-1 was the greatest championship ever. And then the next year, played a bunch of games. And basically the only games I missed that year was because due to my parents dying.
Yeah.
That was the only reason I could have played all 82. But I missed 8 because of both my parents dying, which sucks. But now that I look back, I mean, it all sucks, but, you know.
Yeah. And then that next year, you end up in L.A. after the trade deadline for a couple games. Crazy story.
That is such a crazy story. So what's funny about the league and the trade deadline, right, is like, everything is good. You're on this team. You go to two NBA finals. You lose in one. You win in one. And then you're like, okay, we're going to do this again. Different team, but we're going to do this again with the core guys. And I was playing a certain amount of minutes. And then right before the trade deadline, I started playing a lot. And I go, this isn't right. So the last game I think we played Minnesota, right? They played me like 36 minutes. And I was like, couldn't make a shot. So then the next morning, I found out I was getting traded to the Lakers. And I made a big joke about it and it went viral. I said, hey, don't go 0 for 6 on the Cavs. You're going to get your ass up out of here, you know? But it was, you know, what's crazy is I was dealing with my appendix was exploding. So I didn't know that. I had been playing 4 weeks with a basic, like, swollen appendix. And when I went to the Lakers, the doctors were like, yo, you have to get surgery on this. Yeah. So I went back during to Cleveland, got surgery, stayed in Cleveland a week, and then literally was with my wife as, like, my stomach is still, like, have stitches. Mm-hmm. And I passed out as my wife had our last kid, Lennox.
Yeah.
Because it was like, it was wild. But I only played 9 games for the Lakers, but I got all the jerseys, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, and you got to play with in a crazy game with a crazy guy in Andre Ingram.
Oh, dude. These kids, right? So, you have Brandon Ingram, Julius Randle, Josh Hart, these guys. Lonzo Ball. And I'm like, these guys are taking this so serious. And I'm like, guys, this is a joke. This is a joke. I just been on a championship team. We're bringing up guys from the G League to put people in the stands. Like, this isn't it. Like, we're trying to lose right now. Yeah. So, it was all just for whatever. And I had a good time, and I said, okay, I'm going back to Cleveland. Kyle Korver had asked me, JR, Tristan, those guys, Kevin, And then I went back to Cleveland. Kevin got hurt. They fired T. Lou. They started tanking the season. I said, I'm too old for this. So that's when I said, I'm retiring.
Yeah.
Well, so saying that.
Understand.
Yeah. I was like, man, I'm not doing this again.
Yeah. I guess going off of, you just talk about Kyle Korver and you guys are good friends. Would you say, was he one of the better shooters that you've played with, or maybe the best shooter you've ever played with?
Ian, this is going to shock you. Vince Carter's up there. Kyrie is without a doubt up there.
Kyrie,
James Jones has a flamethrower. And then J.R. Smith is asleep. Like,
Yeah, for sure.
He's just so talented that when he would do workouts, he would shoot the hardest shots just to, because he was just bored. Yeah. But he still make 90 of them, and you're just like, okay, get out of here, man. You're making me feel horrible.
Wraps up your career there in Cleveland. Yeah. I guess now moving on to the playoffs now with the play-ins wrapping up. The last games are tonight, I believe.
Yep.
OKC versus
Minnesota.
Who is that? Minnesota, and then Heat versus Bulls. I guess we'll start there. What do you think about tonight's games?
So I don't know what happened in Minnesota in the last couple weeks, but I wasn't very impressed watching them play the Lakers. They should have beat that. They should have won that game 100 times.
100%.
But I actually want to see OKC, right? I want to see them just play Denver. I think they'll be interesting. But, you know, I think OKC will win, but I don't mind either one playing Denver. I think it'll be a tough matchup. Then I think the Heat are cooked.
Yeah.
I think the Bulls will win. But it's like, oh, wonderful. Now you got to play, the Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. Yeah, exactly.
But at least it's only an hour and a half drive, so it's not like it's that far.
True. Going off of the Heat and – the Timberwolves, I mean, you've played in some pretty big playoff games and you've had great games, being a vet for sure. So like with Mike Conley the other night having a great game and Kyle Lowry bringing an amazing game, I guess, like, what is that like going into a playoff game knowing you're a veteran, you know, you've been there, just kind of like the atmosphere? You think it's easier for those guys?
Without a doubt. I think it's extremely easy because – you have nothing to worry about the day after this game, right? You just lock yourself in and you're like, yo, this is all I have to focus on. There's nothing else. There is no one else. It's either do this or go home. And for me, when you're a vet like Mike Conley, who's been in the playoffs a bunch of times, or Kyle Lowry, who's a vet, they're not shaken by this. They're more locked in, right? Mm-hmm. They're not anxious. They're excited. And so for me, those guys are going to be impactful, extremely impactful, but they're older. So it's like you can't have Anthony Edwards going 0-9 or whatever and expect to win.
Yeah, 1-17 or whatever it was.
Yeah, and where it's just like you look at the Miami Heat, it's like, where's Bam, right? Where's where's your talented young guys, like the cornerstone?
100%.
You should have won a game where Kyle Lowry has 30 points. You got to win that.
34 points.
Yeah, it's like, come on.
Yeah, that's that was a crazy game for both those players.
For sure.
I mean, I like Denver. I like Jokic. I like those guys.
And my thing is, who's their second best player? Right? Yeah. Who is somebody you can rely on? All these teams have two great players. What is Denver's second player? Like, who's somebody who can get you 30?
Yeah, for sure. That's a great point right there. With Denver, like they you can't have just one guy doing everything. You got to have somebody else who can score.
Thank you. Just get buckets on their own.
With Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray flipping the script whenever, like, they just can't. You got to be consistent. So that's how they're going to win.
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, defensively, they have really good defenders.
KCP,
Bruce Brown, Aaron Gordon.
Yep.
But, like, in the playoffs, a guy like Michael Porter Jr., if he's not committed to that end, he won't play.
Yeah.
Right? And if he's getting picked on, he's not going to play. So that's another 20-point scorer not playing, and that hurts your chances of scoring.
Especially versus the Suns, who have 3 to 4 monsters. Great scores. So
yeah, monsters. Yeah.
Yeah. And even if Chris Paul gets hot, that series might be over in the first place anyway. So,
yeah, I mean, he's the biggest what if on the Suns, right? He hasn't had a very good playoff series before, but he's, you know, he's getting older. And I think you look at, like, is he going to dribble the ball as much as he used to? Is he going to be that floor general? Because KD and Book don't need Chris Paul to give him the ball. They just bring that thing. So, yeah, I expect KD to go off this playoffs.
I would think the biggest X factor for that team, though, would be DeAndre Ayton, who has had some up and down seasons, up and down playoffs for sure. But if you think about it, that 2 years ago, was it 2 or 3 years ago when they played the Bucks in the finals, he had monster games, which kept him in it. So,
yeah, you know, I think everyone's going to say make him beat you. And for him, he just has to get to his spot and shoot confidently, right? Some games he's going to get 10 shots. Other games he might get 20. Right? You got to shoot them all when you get them. Yeah, you got to be overly aggressive.
So do you have a top choice out of the West? Or?
You know what? Because I said it on TV, I'm going to ride with it. I think the Lakers pull it out.
Okay.
I think there's other teams with holes, right? There's other teams with holes, but
I think it's for a lot of people right now, it's hard to root for them after that game against Minnesota for sure.
Yeah. Which was, you know,
but that was just an ugly game in general.
Disgusting game. And I think I don't know if the Lakers are going to be pretty when they play. They're just not that way. But if they're grimy, then it's better for them. They can control the pace of the game. I think Anthony Davis is engaged, which is dangerous. Right? Mm-hmm. He's next to KD. He's the most dangerous player in the Western Conference. So if he's playing the way he's playing, things are going to work out well.
Yeah. All right. So I think we'll move on from that. Got your take on that. And then, like I said, now we'll move on to a little bit of the voting for all the MVP, Defense Player of the Year, all that, Rookie of the Year. I guess first we'll start off with probably the most controversial MVP probably of all time, I would think, this year for sure. With Jokic, Embiid, and Giannis, who have all had amazing seasons.
Yeah, it's wild when you put it this way. It's like Jokic does more with less than both of those two.
Yeah.
Right? So Jokic doesn't have an all-star. Jokic doesn't really have a Robin. Jokic is the best passer out of the three. Right?
Yeah.
And his team's been number one in the West. Then you go to Giannis. Giannis is the most physically imposing. Giannis is the best defender by far. Giannis is, I would say, on the best team. Right? So Giannis has 3-4 all-stars on his team.
Yeah,
and
true.
Then you go to Joel Embiid. He's by far the best offensive package. Right? He's a true center. Best shooter. Embiid, he's not Jokic defensively, but he's not Giannis.
Yeah.
And also, he's the one that gets to the free throw line like a savage. To me, my vote is Joel Embiid. I think leading the league in points last year this year is unbelievable for a guy his size. He's been available. He's been engaged defensively. And I think, I think Philly is good. I think they have a chance, and I think they're good because he's great. So my vote is for Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I mean, I could agree with either one of the three.
Right, exactly.
Sure. Like, it wouldn't make me mad either. You know, Jokic is 1-2.
Yeah.
Giannis already has his 2.
Right.
So at this point, I know it's not, you know, give it to the new guy, but at this point, you're right. I mean, back-to-back scoring titles, top 3 in the East both those years. I mean,
he's just a monster, right?
He's got stuff to work with, but at the same time, some of those guys don't help out all the time. So he's there having this drop 50 points, 47 points, and all that.
Exactly. Yeah. His offensive load is equal to those other two. I just think his package and his aggression is different than it was 2 years ago, but better, in a better way.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so that's that. And then we got the Rookie of the Year, which I'm pretty sure is Paulo.
Yeah, stop.
Yeah.
Dude, that dude's a man. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
He won that the first week of the season. Yeah. We're like, yep, he's different.
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree with that. But a guy who surprised a lot of people is Jalen Williams, the guy in OKC who had a solid year all around.
Yeah, he's had opportunities to go out there, learn, play, grow. Mm-hmm. He started off, you know, kind of iffy and then grew into this thing. So he's going to be a pro's pro. But this award, like, it's not even close.
Yep.
But yes, he did play well.
Yeah, well, stats wise, I mean, Paulo's beat everybody by about 5 points by everything. Each stat. So yeah.
Yeah, it's Paulo's the man.
Yep. He'll be good for years to come for sure.
Oh man. Yes.
Yeah. And then another fairly controversial one is Defensive Player of the Year, which you brought up, Evan Mobley, who I didn't even hear much about him having a chance. Yeah.
Yeah, somebody showed me a stat of, like, how many minutes played, his field goal, defense percentage, contested shots, block shots, and, like, he's so far and away, other than block shots per game, Evan Mobley is so far and away statistically the best defender. It's crazy when you see it on paper.
Yeah.
When he plays the game, how many minutes are scored? When he doesn't play, how many minutes, like, possessions, you know, possessions on star players, like, you know, help defense, you know, fouls. Like, they can qualitate all that, and he's balling.
Yep, for sure. So is, like I said earlier, Brook Lopez, then, of course, Jaren Jackson Jr., who's had an amazing year defensively.
I like Jaren Jackson Jr. also, but when I say it would be like Evan Mobley, Jaren Jackson, and Brook, I think both those guys are energetic, they're bouncy, they switch, and I think they play really good one-on-one defense and anchor their team's defense.
For sure. That's another toss-up right there.
Yeah.
That could go either way. Coach of the Year.
Well, it's already Mike Brown.
Yeah, Mike Brown, of course.
Of course. It was too easy.
So much respect for what he did, and, you know, with him being a guy that we know, my dad knows, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Rooting for him, so that's cool to see.
Yeah, I think he just created a pecking order, right? It's like, De'Aaron Fox, you're the man. Sabonis, you're the man. Everyone else, figure it out. And then we're going to play this way. Let's play this way. Let's have fun, and let's do our thing.
Yeah, and he did it well, lining him up with great shooters, with Kevin Huerter having an amazing shooting year. Yeah. Same with their rookie Keegan Murray.
Yeah, good. What a shooter.
Yeah. That'll be a fun series to watch, like we said, with the Warriors. Both of those teams are first and second, I think, in leading points per game in the NBA. So that's
It's crazy.
And then, I mean, that just about wraps it up with everything here.
Awesome.
Appreciate you having the time to come on and talk with me for my final project and get this done.
Happy birthday, Red Dog.
Thank you, sir. True.
Well, all right, man.
Yep. Peace. Thank you so much.
No worries. Of course.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart. In this end of the year senior project, our senior Kayvon talks about his journey going from not liking the sport of basketball to becoming one of the best basketball players in the entire city of Portland. Enjoy.
To say the least, you know, I wasn't great at basketball at this time, but my second grade year definitely went better than my first grade year. I was actually getting more comfortable with my body, you know, being taller than everyone else. I was getting better handling and stuff like that, driving to the rim, stuff like that. Second grade rec came around, you know, I was actually pretty good. And then Coach Vince, you know, as I said before, he was one grade older than me. And his son was playing on what they call AAU teams, who are basically year-round teams. And, you know, you go and travel a little bit to different places, different areas across the world and play basketball. And his son was actually on one of these teams. And his dad asked me, did I want to come try out for them and play with them? And I was like, sure, why not? I don't have anything to lose. So I come, you know, to the tryout. The tryout's actually at the school I go to, which is Fabian, funny enough. And, you know, the tryout actually goes pretty well. The coach likes me, wants me on the team. And, you know, I was really excited to, you know, be able to play for my first AAU team, successful choices. I still have many friends from that team that I still keep in contact with today. They're literally my day ones. So that experience helped me really build, you know, relationships with a lot of great people. And, you know, I still keep in contact with the coach today. But anyways, I'll never forget this. Our first ever tournament, our first few games were at Jefferson High School. And it did not go well for me. Not because I didn't play well, because I didn't play, period. The coach did not really know me or know what I could really do, so he didn't play me. But at this time in my life, you know, 8-9-year-old kid, you know, I didn't really understand the concept of that. So when I didn't play, I was very upset. We had two games at Jefferson High School, and I didn't play in either one of them. Well, actually, I'll take that back. I played maybe 2 minutes in the second game, and I was very upset, to say the least. I cried on the way home, and my mom and dad were telling me, you know, it's okay. The coach doesn't really know what I can do quite yet. And they told me that it would all be all right, and, you know, eventually I'll get through it. So I was not a quitter. I'm still not a quitter, I feel like. I'm a very determined person. I'm not just going to give up because something gets hard, I feel like. I'm going to push through it. So, you know, that's what I did. You know, I kept going to practice. I, you know, started practicing even harder and harder. And then about 2 weeks, I would say, come around and we actually have our first huge tournament at the Beaverton Hoop. Funny enough, I've never been to the Beaverton Hoop up to this point. You know, the Beaverton Hoop is basically a huge facility with about 6 to 8 courts. I'm not exactly sure. But it's a huge facility, you know, there's multiple games going on at one time. It's loud, there's a lot of people and stuff like that. And I was very nervous, to say the least. Funny enough, I actually did not have a ride there, funny enough. Me and my mom did not have a ride there because my dad, he had to work nights. And, you know, this is a Saturday night and my dad, you know, we weren't rich or anything. So my dad couldn't just go and miss work for basketball games. So, you know, me and my mom had to actually ride with Coach Vince, you know, to get there to the game on time instead of taking the bus, either that or the bus. So obviously we took it by to ride with Coach Vince. And, you know, this tournament, I actually got to play a little bit, funny enough. Remind you, I'm playing up. So I'm in third grade at this time and I'm playing with fourth and some fifth graders. So I'm young, so I'm really not really supposed to even be here, but I am, you know, I've been playing up all my life. Yeah, so this tournament actually goes really well. I actually played a lot and actually played really well. And yeah, you know, I actually played really well this tournament. You know, I was confident. You know, I had about 10 to 12 points every game. You know, tournaments, there's like 2 games on Saturday, 2 games on Sunday. And I actually started to enjoy the team a little bit. You know, I enjoyed the coach. I'd be around the coaches, the players, everyone. And this led into, you know, my fourth, fifth grade year, where we actually won our first championship ever. Little backstory. Our team was not very good compared to other AAU teams. we were pretty bad. I'll put it like that. We did not have the size that other teams have. We didn't have the skill that other teams have, you know. We were all small, fast little guards that were basically just kind of learning how to play defense and dribble with our left hand and stuff like that. I remember fourth grade, we were just now learning how to use our opposite hand and stuff like that. And we were struggling. And there's these kids on these in these tournaments that, you know, they're using their left hand, their weak hand, doing reverse layups and making passes and crossovers and stuff. And we can do none of that. All we bought into was, you know, playing defense, you know, getting up and moving the ball and getting up the floor quickly. So my fourth grade year, actually, you know, we're at the Beaverton Hoop once again, you know. I don't think the tournament was that good, actually. I think it was a pretty bad tournament. I think all the good teams that were in Portland were actually out of town this week. So, you know, all the teams aren't that good to, you know, go out of town. Actually stayed, and, you know, one of them was us, and we ended up winning a tournament. Funny enough, I actually have the picture hanging up in my wall at home in my room. And, you know, you can just imagine our big smiling faces. And everyone was so happy that day. I will never forget that. I really love all those guys that were on my team. I love the coach, Coach LeVon. I love that guy, too. You know, I still keep in contact with him today. But now we fast forward on to my fifth grade year. Fifth grade year is actually the first year where I played PIL. Yeah, you know, I played for Grant. And that's where actually where I was supposed to go to high school. We'll get into that later. But, yeah, I played with Grant's PIL youth team. And, you know, fifth grader, they didn't have a fifth grade team. So I would play up with the sixth graders. And funny enough, I actually started on the sixth grade team and played the whole entire game. By my fifth grade year, sixth grade, I was actually really good at basketball. Like, I took tremendous leaps. You know, I was taller than everyone, and I was actually really fast and athletic. So I was really better than a lot of people. Once, you know, my body developed a little more, I got stronger, I got faster, stuff like that. Once my body developed, it was over for everyone in my age group. But, yeah, you know, the fifth grade PIL year did not go that well, if I remember correctly. You know, we still made the playoffs and everything, but we lost to Roosevelt back in February of, I don't even know, 2015, when I was 11 years old, 2015, 2016. You know, we were all very, you know, disappointed and heartbroken by that. And, yeah, no one was happy about that, to say the least. And then, you know, we ran it back our sixth grade year, you know, again. PIL, I played with Grant again, once again. And, you know, we came up short once again. I'll never forget. We came up short to Roosevelt again. Roosevelt was so good back in middle school. All those guys, funny enough, they're not really good at basketball anymore now, the ones that were on that Roosevelt team. But back then, back in their fifth, sixth grade year, they were really good. So was Jeff. Jeff was actually really good. Their youth team was actually really good as well. And finally, you know, my seventh grade year, this is actually my last year playing in the PIL. You know, it was me and this other guard named Jala, you know. We dominated. Like, we ran through every team by 20, 25 points. Me and my friend Jolly, you know, me and him, he's actually one of the Lincoln guards this year. He's graduating with me too, but me and him, you know, we killed everybody that year. Lincoln, Roosevelt, it didn't matter. Everyone got beat that year. And then we went to the championship, and, you know, Jeff, we played Jefferson, I remember. And Jefferson, they were not that good. They were good enough to make the championship. We were clearly the better team. And actually, they kind of cheated in a way. This kid named Adrian Mosley, you guys know Adrian Mosley. Actually, he was never on the team ever. And then for that one game, they picked him up to play. And, you know, Adrian, he's always been bigger and stronger than everyone else. He's had grown man strength since he was 12, 13 years old. And, yeah, it was very upsetting to for us to lose that way, especially because he didn't play within that whole year. And now when it's the championship, he's playing with them, and they didn't do really anything about it. They were okay with it. Pretty much, and, you know, that's how I ended my PIL, you know, journey. And now we fast forward to the summer before I go into eighth grade, actually at the SEI camp. And, you know, I actually won an award for being one of the best players at the SEI camp. And, you know, SEI camp is actually one of the best camps, you know, for my character development. You know, it made me a better person, I feel like, definitely. It made me learn that nothing's given to you easy. And, you know, they actually gave us a lot of life lessons at SEI. But anyways, SEI, you know, I'm one of the best players at the camp. If I'm not the best player, I was probably second or third even. I was definitely top five in the camp easily. Anyways... And this is how I met Coach Julius, the assistant JV coach for Benson. Actually, he came here because of me. That's another story to tell. And basically, I'm talking to him, you know, after one of the games. He saw me have like 30 in the camp. And he's like, hey, who are you playing with this coming year for your eighth grade year? You know, I tell him I'm going to be playing with Successful Choices. And he's like, oh, I want you to come play with me. You know, we travel more places. You know, it's a better team. You'll get better as a player. You'll grow as a player and get better. And then I go tell my parents. I'm like, I think this is a good idea. And then, you know, he has a sit down with my parents, actually, a whole sit down talk, you know, tells them about everything, you know, tell them about the program and stuff like that. And, you know, and I end up making the decision to, you know, go to Dynasty. Yeah, my AAU coach, my old coach, he understood. He wasn't very happy, but, you know, he understood what I had to do. He understood that this was a bigger and better opportunity for me. And, you know, he essentially told me to go. I mean, and that's one of the main reasons that I love Coach Vince. I mean, excuse me, Coach LeVon so much, because even though he wanted me on his team, he knew that, you know, I had – bigger aspirations. And yeah, so it's what I did. I went and played with Team Dynasty, and that was one of the best teams I ever played for. It was one of the best decisions I ever made. For one, we had this guy named Donald Stevens. You know, his name was, but everyone called him Chili at this time. He was one of the best eighth graders in the state at the time. He was easily the best. He was bigger and faster than everybody at the time. And he could use his left hand, so that gave him a huge advantage. It was him, it was me, it was my Benson teammate, actually, that's my teammate right now, Dylan. When I first met him, I was like, who is this Asian, this skinny, goofy-looking Asian kid? But I got on the court with him, he killed me. He's so fast, you know. He's always been able to shoot. He's been shooting the lights out ever since I met him. It was also this kid named Yanni. He's actually from Washington, and he's huge. He was like 6'2 in eighth grade, if you can believe that. He was huge. I'm telling you, he was huge. He was the biggest dude on the court. He was a center, but like he wasn't a center, if that makes sense. He could move like a guard. Like he moved really well. He did not post up. He was on the wing, you know, picking people apart because – you couldn't, and it was so hard to guard him because, you know, you can't put someone small on him because he's just going to go post them up. You can't put someone big on them because he's fast enough to, you know, blow right past and do a spin move and get a layup. And then we had another kid. He went to Tualatin, actually, this year. His name was Ryan. He was their little point guard. You know, he could shoot the lights out. Like, I'm talking like if he was within the volleyball line, you had to pick him up and guard him. Because if you didn't, he was going to burn you. He was going to torch you. And then we had a whole bunch of other, you know, amazing role players like defenders, like Trevor and some others. and my guy Scotty from Gresham, they just beat us in the playoffs last year. He's always been a great defender, great shooter. You know, he plays within himself really well. And, you know, that's one of my closest friends, I would say. And, yeah, our team was stacked. For the first, like, couple months we were actually together, I was actually with this team, we didn't lose. I think, like, we started in September, October, November. I think we lost, like, in December. That was our first time losing, maybe 2 and 3 months. And we actually lost to the other – one of the other really good team, eighth grade teams, which was Rose City Rebels. If you guys know Marquise Cook or Mookie, he was on that team. Isaiah from Gresham was on that team. And a few other really good kids that grew up to still be really good were all on that team. Riley, that went to Central Catholic last year, one of the best football players in the nation, actually. He was actually a really good basketball player, if you can believe that. He was bigger and faster and stronger than everyone else. He was their version of Yanni, and, you know, they came in and beat us, but we were always in the game no matter what. You know, actually throughout the year, they beat us 3 times. We never beat them once. And it was really frustrating because we could never seem to get them. We would beat everyone else, but when it came to them, we could never seem to beat them. And, yeah, but that eighth grade year was amazing. He always had us, like, playing up. Like, in March and stuff, when the high schoolers were done with their high school season, he would have us playing up in their tournaments, like playing in the high school varsity tournaments, you know, competing against those guys that are way bigger and stronger than us. And he was expecting us to win. If you know Julius, you know he coaches to win. He's not the type of guy where, oh, you go coach and have fun. No, he wants to win, you know, and he expected us to win and play hard. And he wasn't backing down from those 17, 18, 16-year-old kids just because they were, you know, bigger and stronger than us. He still expected us to come win. And you remember, it was a tough stretch. We would make it to a lot of championships and stuff, but I don't think we ever won any of those high school tournaments. But, yeah, we were actually the real deal back in eighth grade. And this all led up to us getting ready to prepare to go to Las Vegas. Vegas, if you don't know basketball, Vegas is literally the place to be the last week of July if you're an AAU player. If you're an AAU player and you're not going to Vegas, I don't know what to tell you. But everyone is there. Their mothers, fathers, uncles, everyone's there. So that's what he was getting us all prepared for and get ready to play. And we were definitely ready. Funny enough, we actually won the tournament against some guys that are right now ranked, like, what, top 25 in the country, like Ravon Griffin was on the team that we beat in the championship, and we held him to 8 points. You know, he's 6'6 in eighth grade. We shut him down. He could not do anything. And also, funny enough, we went to Junior NBA. Long, funny story about that. We went to Junior NBA because we won in our region. You had to win in your region first, and then you went to Florida to compete for the National Junior NBA Championship. And we won our region by a good margin, too. We won the championship game by, like, 15 or 20. And that trip did not go very well because, actually, our coach got kicked out. Like, Julius is the type of guy. He played fights and everything with a lot of the kids, you know. And funny enough, he got kicked out because he was play fighting with this kid. You know, Julius, he play fights. He interacts with the kids really good. And the kid broke his phone, so somehow that was Julius's fault. I don't really understand to this day how that was still his fault, but, you know, he got kicked out of the tournament, and then they made a big deal about it. So basically he had to go home, and he couldn't coach us, and we had Dylan's dad coaching us, which did not go very good. We actually only won one game, I want to say, in the whole thing. And then when playoffs came, you know, we got eliminated first round, and we had to sit and watch all the other teams. But I still confidently believe in if we had Julius and we were 100%, we definitely could have won the championship. Because the team that beat us and won the championship, we actually had them down 15 the last quarter. Then we just couldn't finish the game because, you know, we didn't have our leader, our coach, you know, to lead us and help us win. But now here comes my high school year. And, man, my high school experience was absolutely amazing. It started off with high expectations, and I think I delivered on a lot of those expectations. You know, I was a four-year starter for varsity, you know, and I barely came out the game ever. Even, you know, if I was in foul trouble, the coach would still try to find a way to make sure I could play. You know, tryouts, I was not nervous whatsoever, you know, because, you know, I actually kind of assumed I already made the team. I was going to start for sure. And, you know, the first game I ever played, I didn't have, you know, the greatest game. I only had 15 and 10. But, you know, it was a great starting season. I didn't shoot the ball very well, you know. Defensively, I was okay. And, you know, I grabbed a lot of rebounds, actually, for my size, you know, being 5'11 at the time. And then the second game was my coming out party. No, excuse me. The third game against Grant was my coming out party, you know. I had like 18, you know. I played my ass off. I played actually really, really well. Everyone was really impressed by how I played. And that was the game where people were like, oh, yeah, he's going to be okay for these next 4 years. My sophomore year, you know, obviously we had COVID during this time, so I didn't really get much of a season, actually, sadly enough. I only played 14 games, but in those 14 games, I actually played pretty well. And this was the year that Coach Earl was trying to have me transition a little bit into a point guard. We didn't really do too much point guard work, but this is the year he told me he wants me to, you know, transition a little bit into being more of a leader and more of a point guard for my junior and senior year. But here comes around, you know, junior, senior year. Junior year actually went a lot better than I expected. Me personally, I didn't think we had a very good team. You know, I didn't think we could get very far, in my opinion. But somehow, you know, we made it all happen with defense. You know, we were one of the best defensive teams in the state, funny enough, you know. We would regularly hold teams to under 50 points. And, you know, if you saw the team that we had, you would have thought that that was crazy.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart.
The Student Hour, highlighting student voices from around Portland and beyond. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. Full episodes of The Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. On air since 1923, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Thanks to our supporters, Portland Radio Project, KBOO Community Radio, and thanks to our listeners like you. This concludes our episode for today. For AM 1450 KBPS, I'm Joe Anderson. Thanks for joining us.